Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Daily Bookie Podcast, hosted by Bradley. Today's episode is all about TV shows that continued after the main star had left. From House of Cards to Spin City, we'll be discussing some of the most iconic shows that managed to survive and thrive despite the absence of their main stars. We'll be exploring how the writers and producers managed to keep the show's storylines interesting, how the remaining cast members stepped up to fill the void left by the star's departure, and the impact that the star's absence had on the show's overall success. So whether you're a diehard TV fan or just looking for some interesting entertainment news, be sure to tune in to the Daily Weekly Podcast, streaming on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, and other podcast platforms. Let's dive in and explore the world of TV shows that continued after the main star had left. So, there we go. Hello. That was a little bit different, that intro. It was a bit more wordy than what I'm used to, because it was written by ChatGPT, which, if you don't know, is an artificial intelligence software where, you know, you're given a few little commands and prompts, it comes out with whatever you ask it to, basically. And I asked it to write an intro for the Daily Weekly Podcast. It's hosted by me, and the topic is TV shows that continued after the main star had left. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty well written, actually. And I did also use ChatGPT to kind of write the notes for the rest of the episode. Again, so I put in the prompts, and it's done the research. I mean, it's almost a bit lazy, but I wanted to see how well and how useful that this could be for things like this and, you know, other applications. So I thought I'll give it a go. So most of the notes, when we get into the main bulk of today's episode, were written by ChatGPT with a few things from me. And before we go any further, if you are hearing any unfortunate banging in the background, I am sorry. The house just next door, which is only separated by one wall, which I'm discovering is actually rather thin, they're going under some renovations and they're knocking on the wall. Although, they don't know I'm recording this podcast right now, and unfortunately there's no other time for me to do it, but they had been quiet all day. And just when I sat down, moments before I started to press record, I don't know what they're doing. And yeah, sometimes it doesn't get picked up on the mic, but if it does, I am sorry about that. Hopefully it won't detract from the quality of the rest of the episode. And speaking of, well, this episode, before we get started, this is actually the second time that I'm recording it. It's because today is Friday, and this episode goes out on a Saturday, so it's just the day before. Not much time for me to, you know, get it all edited and produced and ready. I usually record on the Monday beforehand, so I've got like about a week lead time. Yeah, I did record it on the Monday, and then I was like, oh yeah, no problem. And I went to edit it the other day, and just before that, I was going through a clear out of files that I no longer needed, and amongst those files were the recordings for this episode that I've already did. And I didn't realise it until I went to go to my editor and open it all up, and I was like, where is it? It's gone. It's like, okay, right, I'll check the recently deleted, you know, check in the bin. But of course, I cleared that too, to free up some space. So it was gone. I was like, okay, oh God, what am I doing? I'm freaking out. And you may have seen on our Instagram stories, because I kind of documented my breakdown about that. And then I was like, okay, fine, what about backups, right? Because I've recorded on the iPad. Hopefully it's backed up to the iCloud. I can just restore that. Well, my iPad was backed up 1 hour before I did the recording, and it hadn't been backed up since. And even if it had been, the Photos app wasn't synced to the iCloud backups, so none of those were backed up anyway. So it was gone. I was like, oh my God, no! So, okay, I was on the internet looking for some miracle, and I came across this software that apparently can restore, you know, deleted files, even if they're permanently deleted with no backups, because they're still on the iPad. They're just hidden away, waiting to be overwritten by new files. And I hadn't done anything else on the iPad since I deleted it. So I was hoping that, yes, it's still going to be there. It hasn't been overwritten yet. And I downloaded the software, and it didn't work. Well, it really kind of killed the mood for that day. I didn't do any other work that day, because it just kind of, I mean, it was getting a bit late on in the day anyway, but it really killed the mood. And I was like, that's what I needed to do today. I've got nothing else. So I took the rest of the day off, and it was a little, you know, it made me feel defeated. It's like, ah, because the trouble with doing these podcasts is, I don't think it's anything like this has happened before, but very rarely, maybe like once or twice, that we've had to re-record a segment or an episode. Because it just, I mean, the very first episode of the podcast was re-recorded, because Jake and I did a rehearsal, and then we did it live. But other than that, pretty much everything has been done in one take live, like I'm doing right now. So to redo something that is still kind of fresh in your memory, It's like, do I try and remember exactly what I said word for word? And it kind of takes out the fun of it, because sure, I read the episode notes before I record it, but it's like, I've already been through this. I've already experienced this. Ugh. But it is a pretty interesting one, I'll tell you that, and ChatGPT has come up with some good stuff. So maybe, you know, if once AI becomes more mainstream, and if you have your own little personal AI assistant, then ChatGPT or similar might become the latest edition of the Daily Weekly team, where they write the episodes for me, because that would, you know, free up some time on my end and I can get to work on more stuff. But anyway, that's enough of that. So yeah, here we are. If you are enjoying this, don't forget to like, comment and subscribe. And we're on YouTube, so I'm waving my hands around. Hello to all you YouTube viewers. And on Spotify, because you've got video podcasts on Spotify as well, so hello over there. But of course, we're streaming on Amazon Music and Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all those podcast platforms. So yeah, thank you very much for tuning in. And today is a jam-packed episode. And as the title suggests, that we are talking about five TV shows that continued after the main star left. So whether the star left kind of on their own accord, they wanted to pursue other projects, or they were dismissed for their own wrongdoings. It's a bit of a mix. And I think three of them were kind of controversial for the actors' behaviours and how that impacted their shows, and two of them kind of left on their own accord. So the first one we're going to be talking about is Anna Faris, who starred as Christy Plunkett on the TV show Mom. Or is it Moms? I can't remember. It's an American show, and I feel like I have to say it like in almost an American way, because it's spelled M-O-M, not like how we would in England, M-U-M, obviously, because it's an American show. And it did air here in the UK on ITV2 a few years ago, and I did kind of, I remember when it first came out and I was sticking to it, and then I just kind of drifted out. And in the end, it got up to 8 seasons, which I didn't even know about until, like, I think it finished a couple of years ago now. But anyway, Anna Faris, who played the lead role of Christy Plunkett on the TV show Mum, left the show after season 7. In a statement announcing her departure, Faris cited her desire to pursue other opportunities as the reason for leaving the show. According to reports, Faris also wanted to spend more time with her family, as she has a young son. In addition, it was reported that Faris was unhappy with the show's production schedule, which required her to work long hours and weekends. I know what it's like to work long hours and weekends, although that's kind of all I've ever worked, really. Obviously, I do work throughout the week as well, but yeah, I've always worked on weekends. It feels strange when I have a weekend off. I almost don't know what to do with myself. You know, I get my days off during the week. It's worth noting that Faris's departure was reportedly amicable, and that the show's creators and producers expressed their support for her decision. The show continued without her, with Alison Janney, who played Christy's mother, Bonnie, as the lead character. Her departure came as a shock to the studio. She was only partway through her contract, which had her stay until the end of season 8. Ultimately, the show only barely lasted one season without her before it was cancelled. So yeah, I do remember reading about this, that season 7 almost ended on a cliffhanger, and that wasn't quite resolved for season 8, and her absence was explained that, oh, she's got this scholarship to this, you know, prestigious university or something like that. You know, they didn't want to kill her off in case you wanted to return one day, although she never did, and she didn't even return for the final episode. Like, usually if a star leaves the main show for, like, the final, they'll come back as a little cameo guest star, but she didn't do that. I don't know if there was any reference, but I haven't seen season 8. Although, it was kind of a shock to some fans of the show that she got this, you know, went off to university to focus on her education, which she did want to do throughout the show. But she tried community college before and it didn't work out, to think that suddenly off screen, she's suddenly off to this, you know, high-end university or something. And, well, she's doing well, but we never really hear. Like, the show kind of did move the focus away from her and towards her own mum and, like, her friends, in fact. Well, her friends. And I guess that just didn't work, because that was, like, especially for season 8, that was the main focus. And, well, yeah, the show was cancelled. So I guess it only, you know, barely lasted without her, but it did continue. They didn't just end it on season 7. Next up, we've got another show which was probably cancelled sooner than it was expected to, and that is because we're talking about Kevin Spacey as Francis J. Frank Underwood on House of Cards. Frank Underwood, played by Kevin Spacey, was killed off the next Netflix series House of Cards after allegations of sexual misconduct were made against Spacey. The decision to kill off the character was reportedly made by the show's producers in response to the allegations. In October 2017, actor Anthony Rapp accused Spacey of making sexual advances towards him when Rapp was 14 years old. Following this, several other men came forward with similar allegations against Spacey. In response, Netflix suspended production of House of Cards and announced that the show's sixth season would be its last. The show's producers then decided to write Frank Underwood out of the series, with the character being killed off screen. The season focused on Frank's wife Claire, played by Robin Wright, taking over as President of the United States. Spacey has not appeared in any new projects since the allegations were made against him. I think that bit might be a little bit outdated, as I think he has appeared in some smaller, like, independent productions since then. But definitely no leading roles or no major acting credits. I love the show House of Cards. And speaking as a fan who likes the character, Frank Underwood was brilliant. It was just so intriguing to see what he was going to do next. You know, he worked his way to become the president, and then I'm not up to date. I didn't see the last season. I think I only got halfway through season 5, actually. But I think what they were building towards is that, you know, Frank and Claire, they were this powerful dynamic. Obviously, Frank was president, Claire was vice president, and then ultimately, which did happen, Claire became president, and Frank, instead of being killed off if none of this happened, was going to, you know, kind of step away and realize that he'd have more control and power working in, like, the corporate business industry behind the scenes. You know, it's selfish to say, I wish he was still in the show. Like, I want the character to be there. Obviously, the character is played by Kevin Spacey. I couldn't imagine anyone else playing him. So it's just one of those things where, yeah, like, the actor has, you know, themselves to blame for what happened. Don't get me wrong, too rightly, if you do something wrong, you should be punished for that. And obviously, he faced the consequences, and there have been other things going on, and, you know, I haven't really followed it. But, yeah, just ignorantly speaking, as a fan of the show, I like the character. I don't know, maybe the show worked without him, but I haven't seen the final season, so I guess I'll have to catch up on the show and see if it did. But I mean, they cancelled it anyway, and that kind of seems to be the thing, is that when these main stars leave after the show, like, it tends to go for at least one more season, and then that's when it's like, yeah, it's not really working out for them. It's like, either they try and do it as a new show, or they will try and wrap things up, which is fair enough. It's better than leaving a show on the cliffhanger. Again, you know, selfishly speaking, as just a fan who enjoys the show for a show, then you want, you know, shows being cancelled before they get a resolution. That's annoying, and it's like, oh, why did I bother wasting years into this if you, you know, couldn't even do that to me? Like, ugh. And from one controversial dismissal to another, this time we're talking about Clayton Crawford as Martin Riggs on the Lethal Weapon TV series, which, again, American TV show, was broadcast on ITV a few years ago, and I did see a few episodes. It was enjoyable, but I think fans of the film series couldn't really get into it in a TV show. It just became another cop TV show, which I guess there was a lot of. So, Clayton Crawford was fired from his role as Martin Riggs on the TV show Lethal Weapon due to reports of his on-set behaviour, including verbal abuse and incidents of anger management issues. According to reports, Crawford had a history of conflict with his co-star, Damon Wayans, and other members of the show's production team. In April 2018, it was reported that Crawford had been reprimanded twice for his behaviour on set, and that he'd been warned that he would be fired if his behaviour continued. In May 2018, it was announced that Crawford would be replaced by Sean William Scott for the show's third season, although the show was cancelled shortly after. Yes, Sean William Scott, who you may know from the American Pie films, playing Stifler. I don't think I ever saw any episodes with him in Lethal Weapon, but I think he was this original character. I don't even know if I've seen the Lethal Weapon films, to be honest with you. But I think he was introduced as this original character, you know, just a new character. And then I suppose that's where, if the show was already deviating from the movies, it went off on a tangent even more by introducing this new lead where fans couldn't really connect with, and it really tried to become its own thing, but I guess ultimately it just didn't work. Crawford has since spoken out about his firing, claiming that he was not given a chance to address the issues that led to his dismissal. He also apologised for his behaviour on set, saying that he had worked to address his issues with anger management. I mean, maybe I don't know the ins and outs of this. This is just what ChatGPT found out for me. But maybe he wasn't given, you know, fair grounds to, I mean, I'm sure he was. You know, there is, like, legislation in place for these things, and you can't just dismiss someone for the sake of it. There are procedures you have to follow. So there probably was, you know, things in place that worked against him. But then, if you're behaving like that, you kind of get what you deserve, really, don't you? And here we are, as I mentioned at the top of this episode, we got three of them that are controversial, and, well, this one certainly is. This is Roseanne Barr as Roseanne Connor on the TV show Roseanne. Roseanne Barr was fired from her own TV show, Roseanne, after she made a racist tweet against former Obama administration official Valerie Jarrett. In May 2018, Barr tweeted that Jarrett, who is African-American, was product of the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes. Wow. The confidence it must have took to say, to type that out and then publish that as a tweet, knowing that millions of people are going to read that and not expect any repercussions. Poof. Wow. That is... I don't know what to say to that. But, I mean, ultimately, Barr's tweet was met with immediate backlash. Of course it would be. With many people calling for her firing, and ABC, the network that the show Roseanne aired on, announced that the next day that it was cancelling the show. In a statement, the network called Barr's comments abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values. Too right. I think that they're inconsistent with a lot of people's values, to be honest with you. Although, you know, it's Twitter, it's the world. There were probably some people who did agree with her, but that is definitely not the values that anyone should have. Barr later apologised for a tweet, but the damage had already been done. ABC announced that it was moving forward with a spin-off of Roseanne without her, titled The Connors. So it was pretty much everybody from the Roseanne show in a new one, just without her. And to make it worse, they killed her character off screen. So there was absolutely no coming back. That's it. No alternate timelines, no identical twins, no it was all a dream. You're dead. Sorry. Got what you deserve, really. The spin-off premiered in October 2018 and is still airing to this day, I believe. It's working without her, that's for sure. And before we get on to our final TV show that continues without the main star, I just want to take a little sip out of my lovely Daily Weekly mugs, which, at the time of recording this, are not available for sale, but hopefully one day they will be. But hey, when these do become available for sale, you guys will be the first to know. But yeah, very nice. I do quite like this. Because when I do these podcasts, I don't think I, you know, it's the longest I speak in continuous, almost uninterrupted, you know, conversation with myself, 30 minutes at a time. I never do that. I just, oh, it really dries your mouth out, you know. So the last one we're going to talk about is Michael J. Fox as Mike Flaherty on the TV show Spin City. Michael J. Fox left the TV show at Spin City due to his ongoing battle with Parkinson's disease. Fox had been diagnosed with the degenerative neurological disorder in 1991. Wow. That's only a year after Back to the Future Part 3 came out. Like, I knew he was young when he got it, but wow, I didn't know it was then. So I wonder if during the production of Back to the Future Part 2 and 3, because they were filmed like back to back, that if he began to notice signs of it. He must have. That's really unfortunate. But he had been able to continue working on Spin City for 4 seasons while managing his symptoms. However, as the disease progressed, Fox found it increasingly difficult to continue working on the show. In the year 2000, Fox announced that he'd be leaving Spin City at the end of its 4th season to focus on his health and to raise awareness for Parkinson's disease. He continued to work as an activist for Parkinson's research and founded the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research in the year 2000. And that's still going today. Like, again, if you're a fan of the TV show, it's sad to see your favourite character leave. But, you know, if you think on a macro level here, outside the box, the real world, the things he went on to do is absolutely amazing. And yeah, he's done some acting roles here and there, but the main thing has been this research, and don't we all hope that one day we can get a cure for things like this? Yeah, he really has done some amazing work, so I almost feel proud. I mean, I just, I don't know the guy, but yeah, it's just like, he knew, it's like, right, you know, I really love doing the show, but I've got to step back, and, you know, I've got to do what's right for me. And he did. And as I said, Fox has made occasional appearances on TV shows and movies, including The Good Wife, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Designated Survivor. I didn't know he was in Designated Survivor. Maybe ChatGPT got that wrong, but I saw most of the 1st season of Designated Survivor. Did enjoy it. Haven't seen season 2 or 3, but I've got so many TV shows I need to catch up on. But wow, if he is in there, that'd be a nice treat to see. I'm guessing only a little guest spot. But yeah, I did not know that. But of course, however, he has largely focused on his advocacy work for Parkinson's research and has become a leading voice in the fight against the disease. He certainly has. Charlie Sheen later joined the show and became its lead star for the final 2 seasons. And that's kind of funny because, as you may have known if you saw the last episode where I did this similar topic last year, where I mentioned 2 and a Half Men, who obviously Charlie Sheen was the lead actor in Charlie Sheen's... Well, it was basically... He pretty much played himself, didn't he, really? For the show's 1st 8 seasons, and for his own controversial actions, he was dismissed and replaced by Ashton Kutcher for the final 4. It's like, what goes around comes around, I guess. He replaced somebody, and he later got replaced himself. Well, there we go. Those are the 5 TV shows that continued after the main star had left. I'm sure there's plenty more. you know, this is an episode topic that I could probably do again and again, and I will, because it's actually pretty interesting. So don't forget to check out the previous episode where I talked about, The Office, Two and a Half Men, Superstore, Fear the Walking Dead, and The Walking Dead. I mean, yeah, there are just so many shows that continue. I guess ultimately, maybe it's a money thing, like, we need this show to keep going, let's keep it up. And sometimes it just doesn't work, and they're like, actually, nope, never mind. But anyway, let's talk about some recent entertainment news. So I say recent, you know, as I wrote this episode about a week ago now, so there have been some updates, and even the news itself was probably already a couple of weeks old at least by the time I got around to writing it. But hey, it's recent in the grand schemes of everything, right? So the first one I'm talking about is the cryptic tweet which we got from Zack Snyder, again a few weeks ago, with the whole Darkseid thing and save the date, the 28th, 29th, and 30th of April. You know, people thought, oh, are we getting more from the Snyderverse? Is it a new movie? Is it a comic book series? Animated films? No. I mean, as much as I'd love to see more live-action movies with, like, Ben Affleck as Batman, because I think he's great, that's just not going to happen anytime soon. Comic books, continuing his original vision, as he teased working on previously. So, oh, is this what it's going to be? I'd love to see that. I'm not a massive comics reader, but I would definitely pick up those to find out. You know, like, I read the original storyboard pitches for Justice League 2 and 3. I've really liked what they were going to do. I would say I'm a fan of Zack Snyder's work, but not one of those diehard fans you see on Twitter, or, you know, not quite there. But, no, it turns out it's just going to be a special screening of the Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, but the Ultimate Edition, and then, of course, Zack Snyder's Justice League. So these are kind of his visions. I'm surprised there isn't a director's cut of Man of Steel, but I guess, you know, he did direct it himself, and perhaps right at the beginning there was no studio interference, really, so he kind of got to make that as perfect as he wanted to. So those films are going to get a special screening, and then followed by, like, a live Q&A behind-the-scenes showcase by Zack, which he's, I think he might have done this sort of thing before, but many fans are thinking this is kind of his way of saying goodbye to the whole, or his vision, because, you know, James Gunn is rebooting everything and pretty much nothing else matters. Which is really a shame, because I would have loved to see where the Snyderverse would have gone. And hopefully, again, you know, comic books, animated movies, hopefully one day. But for now, we can get some more insights, learn some things that we didn't know, maybe find out some new information, and just appreciate it for what it is, really. And next up, you may have heard that Daisy Edgar-Jones, who you may know from, like, the War of the Worlds TV show, that's mostly where I know her from, but she's done some other projects as well. But she has been cast as the lead in the upcoming sequel to the 1996 film Twister. And do you have any guesses as to what this sequel is going to be called? 3, 2, 1. Yes, that's right, it's called Twisters. There's more than one, there's two. Or at least more than... Well, there probably will be more than two, but, you know, it's a sequel. They couldn't just call it Twister 2. No, like every modern Hollywood sequel to a film nobody really wanted a sequel to, they either add like an S on the end, so like Twister became Twisters, or they call it Twister, like they did with that Scream movie a couple years ago. Just call it exactly the same thing, even though it's a completely new one. Or they put the word the in front of it, so it could have been The Twister. And it wouldn't surprise me if she was playing the daughter of the characters from the first film, because, you know, that's just such a Hollywood cliche these days, isn't it? She's going to follow in their footsteps, especially, you know, Bill Paxton's character, because obviously he passed away a few years ago. She's going to follow in her father's footsteps, and he's such an inspiration to her. And then I did some research, and I found out that is pretty much exactly what's going to happen. She is the daughter of Bill Paxton's and Helen Hunt's characters, and she's going to follow in their footsteps. So if you want to see the same film, but with a modern update, I guess, that's coming out next summer 2024. So yeah, save the date, I guess. It's just a bit unnecessary, isn't it, really, making a modern sequel? At least it's not a reboot. Although I suppose if you're doing the same thing, it could have kind of be like a reboot, but I don't know. And speaking of films that just got another sequel, John Wick 4. Now, I did kind of want to talk about this. Obviously, John Wick 4 recently came out, and hopefully I'm going to see it with my family sometime soon. So expect a mini review on that in a future episode of this podcast, hopefully. But I watched the first John Wick. Well, let's give you some background. Obviously, I want to see the fourth one, and before that, I wanted to kind of go through 1, 2, 3, so it's fresh in my mind, and then go into the fourth, because they kind of pick up immediately where each one leaves off, which I just really like. This is kind of one continuous saga. So I saw that John Wick 3 was on the TV the other day. I was like, oh, I could just watch that, and then I'll watch the others. But I wanted to watch it in order, so I went on, found John Wick 1. I was like, great, really enjoyed it. And it's like, oh yeah, pumped. I watched it quite late at night, but I was, you know, it got to about 1 a.m. where I put it on. And I was just like, wow, I want to watch the second one. And I couldn't find it streaming anywhere. That was really, I didn't want to buy it. You can rent the movie for like £3.50, but I don't want to do that. I'm paying for like 4 different streaming services. The least it could, you know, could be on one of them. Ah, so I watched John Wick 1 on Amazon Prime, and John Wick 3 was on there as well. But obviously, I need to see the second one, because I don't think I've even seen the second one in general. And I looked and I looked, I couldn't find it anywhere. Ah, and then the next day, just hoping for a miracle that it would be on there, I noticed that John Wick 1 was taken off. So I was like, oh, I'm glad I saw that when I did. I got in there just in time. But yeah, I need to find out where John Wick 2 is streaming so I can watch it before I see the fourth one. I want to see it all. And I hope they make John Wick 5, because originally they were going to make John Wick 4 and 5 back to back, and then it was just the fourth one. And obviously they got the spin-off with Ana de Armas called The Ballerina, which I think Keanu Reeves and Ian McShane and the late Lance Reddick are all kind of making little guest cameo appearances in that film. So at least the universe isn't coming to an end just yet. But I think the director and Keanu Reeves have said that they want to rest it just for a little bit and then go back into a John Wick 5. But seeing how, I mean, I've read reviews and seen things already that, you know, this is also the longest film in the franchise, which I'm a lover for long films, and apparently the original cut was 3 hours and 45 minutes, and the one that went into the cinemas is like 2 hours and 50 minutes or something. So I want to see an extended cut, first of all, and then it's also like, I think it's the highest grossing one so far, it's got the best reviews, so they would be stupid not to make a fifth one. I think it's hard to say that, well, there's not many examples of sequels that keep getting better than the one before, right? And I think John Wick is definitely an example of that. Yeah, like, it's just a fun thing you can go in and enjoy, you know? John Wick's going to do some cool stuff and say, yeah, in that way that he does. You know, I really like it. So hopefully, yeah, even if they make one more just to really tie things up. But yeah, I think given the way that number 4 is going, they are going to make a John Wick 5. I just know it. Then on the flip side of it, we have got the sad news that obviously Lance Reddick passed away the other week. He's been in all the films. Obviously, he's been in other things as well, but I'm mostly known for his role as the good old hotel concierge in this film series. But he passed away of natural causes, just aged 60, I think. So that's just too young to go. I guess you never know when your time is, especially, you know, natural causes or anything. But yeah, so just got to appreciate every moment. And I've seen some interviews where, well, saw one with him and Ian McShane talking about the film, obviously filmed before he passed. And he just seemed really enthusiastic. Like, he remembered doing the first one as this almost kind of independent film, because it wasn't originally meant to have any sequels. And now look at it, it's got 3. It was just kind of this one and done action movie. Yeah, it might do okay, but you know, they didn't expect anything of it. And then it turned into this absolutely loved franchise, and he'd loved being a part of it. And, you know, he was looking forward to, you know, the Ballerina movie with Ana de Armas, and how, you know, his character's there to just kind of tie things together in that respect. And, you know, as I said, he's done other things. He was in, like, The Wire, and I believe he did a few video games as well. But, I don't often get saddened by, like, actors passing, because, you know, I don't know them, and I know them for the characters, not themselves. And I think because John Wick was so fresh in my mind that it was kind of a bit like a, oh. So I'm sure if they did make a fifth one, they would absolutely find a way to, you know, dedicate and make a, you know, a meaningful tribute to him. Maybe they'd use archive footage or unused scenes or something, but like they would Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. But even if they don't, they will find a way to honour him and not just his character. Bit of a sad note to end the main bulk of the episode on, I suppose. But that's just some of the recent entertainment news. And then from the entertainment news, as always with an episode of the Daily Weekly Podcast, we round the episode out with an installment of the Not Yet Title News, which is just whichever weird news story I found on the internet today. So this one is, you know, this whole segment is like a little homage, a little throwback to the kind of unaired pilot episode, the little rehearsal that Jake and I did, where, you know, we don't read these stories in advance. We look for a good headline and hope for the best. Sometimes they're very clickbaity and it's just underwhelming, and sometimes there is some substance to it. And hopefully this one has got some substance, because man with the world's longest tongue smashes Jenga record thanks to crazy body part. Yes, so a man with the world's longest tongue breaks a Guinness World Record involving the game Jenga because of his unusually long tongue. Let's take a read. So, Nick Stobel? Stubel? Not quite sure how to pronounce his name there. From California in America, in case you didn't know, the Daily Mirror specified where California is, claimed that the Guinness... So, Nick from California, America, claimed the Guinness World Record for longest tongue, male, and has now successfully smashed another using it to perform party tricks. Well, if you've got a long tongue, I would certainly use it for some tricks, I suppose. The man with the world's longest tongue has smashed a Jenga World Record thanks to his trademark body part. Nick from California has already holds the Guinness World Record for the longest tongue in a male, but has now claimed the title for fastest time to remove 5 Jenga blocks with the tongue. I didn't know that was a record to begin with, but I guess can anything be a Guinness World Record? You know, like, the world's longest podcast episode, that sounds like it would be a record. Probably a multi-day live stream as a podcast, wouldn't it? But, yeah, or the... Yeah, like, can I set my own record and then automatically win it? Like, can I set my own record and automatically win it? Is that... That's how it works, right? You can just make it up and get one of those Guinness officials who always look very miserable to come with their ugly outfits and good old clipboard. There goes my chances of getting in that book. So, Nick smashed the challenge in 55.526 seconds, beating the previous record by about 4.5 seconds. The average tongue length is just over 3 inches or 7.9 centimetres for women and 8.5 centimetres in men. And Nick's is 10.1 centimetres long. So yeah, that is quite a long. And he's posed for some pictures, right? For marketing and publishing and all that. And he just looks so seductive. Why? Just because you've got a long tongue, he's licking some Jenga blocks. Like, who? I mean, what? Oh, and it, the way it kind of comes out and curves, oh, that's very long. But when Nick isn't breaking records, he is, well, using his tongue to create impressive artworks. He says, as an artist, he's been inspired by Andy Warhol and his Campbell soup cans, even using it as encouragement to create his very own masterpieces. Oh, do we have a picture of his masterpieces, please? Oh, we do. He admits that having a long tongue isn't just a conversation starter, but it also comes in useful when coming to cleaning himself up after eating. He licks himself like a cat. Oh yeah, I've got a bit of food on my... Oh, you know, I won't get like a napkin just to wipe it off. I'll just get my tongue out and give it a good old lick. Okay, each to your own. You do you, Nick. He added, if I get my face dirty while I'm eating, I can just lick the food off right there. It's eco-friendly, no napkins needed. Oh, okay, right. Licking yourself is more eco-friendly, unless you're using eco-friendly napkins that can be recycled. How about that? Haha. Oh, and here's another picture of him with the Guinness World Record official and one of his artworks. To show the world how versatile his tongue really is, Nick attempted to break the record for the most tongue-to-nose touches in 1 minute. Wow, he is on a roll for breaking world records. Wow, the record to beat was 281 touches in 1 minute, but Nick unfortunately fell short by 35, clocking in with a total of 246 very tiring tongue-to-nose touches. And Nick is very proud of his Guinness World Record titles and says his life has changed since first earning the record for the longest tongue. He's been able to go to different countries and see all different kinds of cultures and hang out with good people and have good food. So, he's got a big tongue, he can taste a lot of food. That sounds like there would be a TV show following him as he goes around the world trying these exotic things, showing off his rather large tongue. Somebody says, bet his partner is very happy, winky face, potentially. Yeah, you know, if they get a bit of food on them, he can just lick that up as well. Could think of any other use for a long tongue. And somebody else said, 281 tongue to nose touches in 1 minute is pretty quick. I could only do 60, but I will keep practicing. Well, look at that, Nick. You've got someone, Arthur Dent here. Looks like there's more than one long tongue in the world, and, well, it's certainly not me. But yeah, there we go. That was a very interesting, weird news article that did have some payoff. It wasn't just a boring clickbait, but there we are. We've reached the end of the episode, and I want to thank you very much for sticking with it. I hope you learned something today. Did you learn about Nick and his world records, or did you learn about TV shows that continued without their, you know, the main stars, and how they continued without them? Let me know which was your favourite part of this episode in the comments, and hey, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Just type in @DailyWeeklyCast, and I'll see you all in the next episode. Bye for now.